production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck.
And I'm Lisa Popcheck.
And you're listening to the best of More to Life. Today on More to Life, Boiling Mad. We're going to help you deal more effectively with anger and the angry people in your life. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to Life.
The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising, relevant, hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to raise.
Practical, theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck.
And I'm Lisa Popcheck.
And today on More to Life, Boiling Mad, we're going to help you deal more effectively with your own anger and the angry people in your life. Give us a call at 877-573-7825 and tell us, are there certain situations or people that push your buttons? How do you respond when you're angry? You shut down? Do you lash out? Maybe you have a hard time managing other people's anger, like maybe toddler tantrums or teen tantrums or your spouse's blow-ups, your boss's tirades, or the fits a friend or a family member throws when things don't go their way. Whatever it is, we want to help you deal with your anger or the angry people in your life more gracefully and effectively. Give us a call. 877-573-7825.
Is it just me or is this epidemic?
No, just you.
No. I'm not saying that I have an epidemic proportion of anger, but noticing that everybody just seems to be at a level of anger that I don't know if we've really experienced before. I don't know if it's that we've never experienced it or we've never known about it as much as we do now that we have social media bombarding us all the time.
You just can't get away from it. No, I mean, because it follows you. I mean, I think it used to be that perhaps you could, you know, leave work, leave school, go into your home and just kind of shut the door. And if you didn't want to watch TV or whatever, you know, just turn it off and just go get some quiet. Now, you know, everything is following you wherever you go. You know, your phone's constantly buzzing.
Well,
the social media, and it's all outrage.
And it's not even just that. It's also the level of how anger is being used in our society right now. So, for instance, you know, I was driving to an activity with our 13-year-old yesterday, and we were talking about the new level of discussion that's going on about abortion in our country with the different laws that are happening. Mm-hmm. And she's involved in a lot of secular outside activities. And we were talking about, you know, how she's handling that discussion with some of her friends in her classes that do not hold the same pro-life views that she holds. And we were having a good discussion about it. But we also ended up talking about the fact that a lot of people are coming at it without conversation or thoughtfulness on both sides, that it's just coming across as yelling and screaming. And she was saying that, you know, you can't turn on any secular news station without just hearing people scream at each other. She says as far back, now she's 13, she said, was it ever not this way, Mom? Because, like, through the whole Obama administration, I remember people screaming at each other. Through the Trump administration, I'm seeing people scream at each other. Now they're screaming more. And she said, was news ever not like this? And I said, you know, having a father who was in the news industry, yes, there was a time that was a little bit calmer. But we are in such a place where we're just at a point of anger and sort of yelling over each other all the time in the news, on social media, that I think it's skewing how we handle each other in real life at times, where we either are always in a hot button place. So even in our family lives, even sometimes in our friendships, we end up being hostile or angry with one another, or very much the opposite, where we're just so done with it that we don't want to deal with issues and anger, and we shut down. We just opt out.
Yeah, you know, well, there's something to what you're saying, because, of course, we tend to think that, well, okay, I'm stepping away from the computer now, so those arguments aren't bothering me anymore, or I'm turning off the TV and those arguments aren't bothering me anymore. But the reality is all that stuff raises our baseline emotional temperature, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And so even though we step away from the outrage that we're seeing, we carry that emotional surge with us, that adrenaline that's coursing through our bloodstream, and we carry that as we go from person to person and thing to thing, and the stuff just piles up for us. So, you know, there I think there are more people who are, you know, struggling with anger, more opportunities, I guess, to deal with angry people than perhaps we've had in the past. We want to help you find those resources for managing your own anger and the anger of others. Give us a call at 877-573-7825 if you are tired of having your buttons pushed or having to deal with people whose buttons are just a little too easily pressed. 877-573-7825.
Well, and of course, there's a lot of reasons to not give in to anger and to deal with other people's anger well. But one of them is certainly that Scripture warns us over and over and over again that if we give in to anger, it can lead us to do evil. It can lead us sure. into evil over and over again. From the Old Testament to the New Testament, we're warned to handle our anger slowly, thoughtfully, prayerfully, because it can lead us to evil if we don't.
Well, and it tears us apart. I mean, in fact, one of the reasons we're doing this show today is there was a new study reported in the journal Psychology and Aging that show that anger can lead to the development of chronic illnesses even more than sadness can, especially in older people. It turns out that anger triggers the inflammatory response in the body even more than anger does. And when a person...
Even more than sadness does.
Excuse me, even more than sadness does. Thank you. And it turns out that those higher levels of inflammation tend to lead to more struggles with chronic disease down the road. So, you know, sadness isn't healthy for you, but comparatively it's less unhealthy than dealing with chronic anger and the physical changes that chronic anger can bring.
Well, and yeah, and I think it's interesting that the study differentiates between anger and sadness, not between anger and depression. And In our experience, I see often that when people do not handle their anger well, it actually leads to depression. So you get a multi-level destruction of your body, your mind, your soul, because you're not dealing with the anger well. So you're either venting it or you're feeling helpless about it. You're feeling incapable in dealing with it. And so it gets stuffed and it turns into depression because of the helpless feeling.
Well, the classic definition of depression is anger turned inward.
And it's really true. So you get all this toxicity. And when we deal with that kind of depression and anger that is turned inward, we're so busy turning inward, we often forget to turn outward toward God and to bring in His grace and His ways of telling us to deal with those situations and those people. So important stuff to deal with.
Are you dealing with anger in your life? Are you handling certain situations where people that are pushing your buttons just a little too easily? Maybe you tend to shut down like we were just talking about in the face of that anger, or you just can't control yourself and you end up lashing out, regretting the things you do or say afterward. Or for that matter, maybe you've got some people in your life whose anger you feel is just maybe a little too out of control. And it's tough to manage them, you're tired of dealing with it, and you need some tips for managing it gracefully, give us a call, 877-573-7825. The title of the show today is Boiling Mad, as we help you deal more effectively with anger and the angry people in your life. You know, looking at this question from the perspective of the theology of the body, Lisa, you were saying that Scripture reminds us to be cautious about our anger. You know, the Proverbs talks about a well-trained tongue. You know, we do have a tendency as Christians to have a fairly complicated relationship with anger. We are either afraid of it or I kind of tend to view it as a sin, and certainly wrath can be a sin, but not all anger is sinful. The theology of the body reminds us that our body was designed to work for our good and the good of others. And by the way, that includes emotions. You know, people don't think of emotions as an embodied thing, but they are. They begin as an embodied experience, and all of our emotions, including anger, are part of the body that God made for us. And all of our emotions, along with the rest of our body, were designed by God to work for our good. So anger, when it's godly, is meant to be a gift that calls our attention to an injustice, that motivates us to act in proportionate, appropriate, and productive ways. And that's that. I'm going to hit those three words again, because that's sort of the key to what righteous anger looks like. If I'm righteously angry about something, then I'm going to respond to that thing in a proportionate, appropriate, and productive way. On the other hand, if I'm giving into the sin of wrath, that's where I take my anger and express it in disproportionate, inappropriate, and unproductive ways. So that's the difference between the emotion of anger, especially if it's righteous anger, versus the sin of wrath. So in order for anger to fulfill its godly purpose, we've got to stop trying to use it to motivate other people. You know, anger isn't a club that we use to beat people into submission with. It's a call to prayer and discernment that allows us to determine the nature of the injustice that we're experiencing, and a graceful response that God wants us to make to it. So if you're struggling to express your anger in appropriate, proportionate, and productive ways, whether your tendency is to lash out or shut down, or you're having a hard time dealing with the anger that's coming at you from the people in your life, whether that's your kids, your spouse, your family members, you name it, we are here for you at 877-573-7825.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you are dealing with what Greg was talking about, somebody is using their anger as a way to motivate you, and instead it's tearing you down, it's frustrating you, it's frightening you a little bit, it's leaving you angry as well, and nothing productive is happening, so that tool is not being used well to be effective in any way in this situation, and you're tired of dealing with other people's anger, and you want to be able to be a good, faithful Christian adult that gets stuff done in all of this? Well, we're here to help you do it today at 877-573-7825.
Let's say our concerns to the Lord, and then we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence, and we thank you for giving us the peace and the grace that we need to respond to the injustices of this world in appropriate, proportionate, and productive ways. Lord, this world is broken, and you make it our privilege and our challenge to set that world to rights through your grace by responding to the challenges and the problems and the struggles that we all face in ways that glorify you, that work for our good and the good of others, and that build your kingdom. But so often, Lord, we give in to that anger that instead of building your kingdom causes us to burn it down. And so we give you all those things that provoke us, all those things that lead us to anger, all the people who are angry in our lives. And we ask you, Lord, to give us the wisdom to respond in proportionate, productive, and appropriate ways that allow us to create peace and justice out of those situations that provoke us and those we love to anger. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And in the name of the
Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on Mortal Life, Boiling Mad, we're helping you deal more effectively with anger and the angry people in your life. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. Before we go to the phones, I just want to say EWTN has a very special announcement. We're going to be broadcasting the massive installation of the Most Reverend Wilton D. Gregory as the 7th Archbishop of Washington. It's going to be simulcast on EWTN-TV and EWTN Radio Classics today at 1:30 Eastern. Be sure to check that out. A very important day in the history of the Archdiocese of Washington, and frankly, the whole church, especially in light of what all has been going on there. So tune in today at 1:30 Eastern to check out the massive installation for Bishop Wilton Gregory.
I know, I'm so grateful to EWTN for covering that kind of thing. So again, that's the kind of thing you won't see a lot of, or at least not full and, sure. and broad coverage of anywhere else. So thank you to EWTN for carrying that so we can all be part of it.
But with that, let's go
to the phones. Yeah, I'll do that part for you. Let's talk now to Jerry, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Los Angeles, California on Sirius 130.
Hi, Jerry. Welcome to Mortal Life. What can we do for you?
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Thanks. What can we do for you today?
We live in Los Angeles, and there are a lot of, seems like there are a lot of angry people here walking around. And I'm wondering, I have more opportunities where anger comes my way, and I want to know a good way to respond to it in a Christian way. An example is it was a sunny day on Saturday, and we drove to a beach restaurant in a area where there are, you know, lots of tourists and things, and we were pulling into a parking lot, and we kind of have a car, it seems, that attracts anger. I don't know why, but we were waiting in line to get into the parking lot, and it just so happened that we were, you know, blocking the sidewalk. And this man who was walking to the restaurant just came up and started screaming at us profanities because we were blocking the sidewalk. And my wife and I kind of looked at each other, and we really wanted to respond in, like, a Christian way, but we didn't really know what to say.
Well, that's a terrific question, and the reality is, you know, we do encounter those situations on the road where people cut us off, they honk at us, there's a lot of rudeness on the road these days, if not outright road rage. How do you manage that in a Christian way? Or for that matter, when you're dealing with the anger that you either feel towards strangers or that, you know, strangers take out on you. It's one thing when you're in a relationship with somebody, you can go
to them and deal with it. But when it comes out of nowhere, it's very difficult to deal with, and I'm seeing more and more of that lately.
And, you know, look, I think we're all going to be provoked to some kind of frustration or anger in those kinds of situations. So I want you to, you know, kind of hear what I'm trying to say. In that light, realizing that, you know, it's not fun to be yelled at by anybody, and we're going to react to that in some way. But I will tell you, personally, the way I try to deal with that myself, when I remember.
When you remember. So I've got to say, this is something that, you know, so everybody's a work in progress when something happens so suddenly.
It is to offer up a quick prayer for that person, you know, to say, you know, just, Lord, bless them and keep them safe. You know, if they cut me off, it's like maybe who knows why they did it. Maybe because they're rushing to get something, whatever. But bless them and keep them safe. Lord, give that person peace. You know, Lord, it doesn't have to be some big pious thing. You know, it's just a brief prayer that offers their intentions up and asks that God would bless them instead of giving into that tendency to want to just, you know, kind of reach out and punch them in the throat. I mean, if those are your choices,
right?
If those are your choices, you know. Then
wow.
Go. Well, let's face it. Maybe I'm telling you more about myself than I want to.
At least sometimes the temptation is there.
Yeah, no, but look, you know, just being able to say, you know, Lord, bless that person and help keep them safe or give them peace. Or whatever it is, and you know, because what's the point of saying anything, right? I mean, the you know, there are times, like I said, if you're in a relationship with someone, honestly, if you're angry, the best thing to do is to go talk to them about it. You know, one of my favorite quotes, regular listeners have heard me say this plenty of times. Pope Saint Gregory the Great wrote in his book of Pastoral Rule that anger seethes all the more when corralled by the violent guard of an indiscreet silence. In other words,
heavy on the indiscreet.
Yeah, yeah. Pope St. Gregory the Great is saying, look, when you're upset with somebody, it's usually better to go talk to them about it than it is to just sit there and seethe and soak in it. But when you're dealing with a stranger and you don't have an opportunity to talk it out with them, then what's the point of really saying anything in those situations? That's a good opportunity to practice that old Catholic spiritual practice of offering it up.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mean that in a glib sort of, oh, just offer it up sort of way. I mean that in a real, you know, that is a sacrifice. And by taking that anger to God and just saying, Lord, bless that person. I've got plenty of other things I can be angry about. I don't want to waste my energy on this. Just bless them and give them peace. And then move on.
Well, you know, what offering up really is, I think, is an act of humility.
Mm-hmm.
Ben, it's an act of saying, I'm not going to make this situation, this person that I'm angry at, or my own reaction to this an idol in this moment. I'm not going to give it that kind of power. And so, Lord, I offer this situation to you. It's an act of humility, and it allows the Holy Spirit to come in and bring some kind of healing. And, you know, in the practicality of it, what do you say to the guy, you know, if you're in the wrong and you shouldn't have parked there? You say, hey, I didn't notice. Thanks for pointing it out. Have a great day. I'll move my car. And if you're right and you were able to park there and he's just annoying, say, okay, thanks for pointing it out. Have a great day and move on.
With that, Jerry, I want to thank you so much for the call. It's certainly a common enough issue and I think a great way to kick off the program on anger and dealing with the angry people in your life. But listeners, if you are in a situation where someone or something is pushing your buttons and you're feeling a little, you know, either ashamed or tired or frustrated with the way you're responding to it, or for that matter, you're having a hard time finding graceful ways to deal with those angry people that you care about, who are taking their anger out on you, let's talk about some graceful ways to manage it all. 877-573-7825. Again, that number, 877-573-7825. More to Life will return in just a minute with our show, Boiling Mad, as we help you deal more effectively with anger and the angry people in your life. Stick around, more coming up after the break.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com. More to Life is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization. Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 80% of the referral check to Ave Maria Radio and Students for Life. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
Ciao, Sorelli and Fratelli, sisters and brothers. Teresa Tomio here from Catholic Connection. Through the years, so many of you have contacted me asking for my advice on traveling to my favorite place in the world, Italy. Being that I've had the blessing of visiting the country more than 50 times now, I've decided to respond to those special requests by introducing Tease Italy at TravelItalyExpert.com, a website for all things Italia where you'll receive insider tips on where to eat, stay, shop, play, and most importantly, pray. At TravelItalyExpert.com, you'll discover, with the help of our key partners, Ave Maria Radio and Corporate Travel, this beautiful Catholic country through videos, blogs, and even personal travel consulting. So whether you're planning that upcoming visit or just want to learn more about Italy, connect with me on TravelItalyExpert.com. Ciao for now. We'll see you online at Tease Italy, TravelItalyExpert.com.
Greg Popcheck.
And I'm Lisa Popcheck.
And you're listening to the best of More to Life.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popcheck.
And I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck. Are you boiling mad? Are you around somebody who is? We're helping you deal more effectively with anger and the angry people in your life on our show today, titled Boiling Mad. You're listening to More to Life, and we are taking your calls at 877-573-7825. Are there certain situations or people that are pushing your buttons? Those toddlers who are tantruming, those teens who are losing their minds, those spouses blowing up at you, bosses tirading, friends or family members having fits?
I've got one. I've seen it three times this week. The people you're trying to plan a wedding with.
Oy.
Three times I've seen weddings explode this week alone.
God, give me strength.
It's that season. If you're trying to deal with all those things in life, we're here to help you do it with grace. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825. We're talking now with Cynthia in Omaha, Nebraska, listening on KVSS.
Hi, Cynthia. Welcome to More to Life. What's your question?
Hi. Yeah. My question is, how do I curb my anger towards my daughter, who lives with me, has moved, well, she's moved back in with me. Mm-hmm. She's 27. She has a 3-year-old son, and she is a functioning alcoholic, doesn't believe that she can, she believes she can drink one drink and not drink anymore. Mm-hmm. And she's reverting back to her old habit that yeah. got her thrown in jail for almost 3 months. And she just got out about
what
a month ago.
What was she in jail for exactly?
DUI.
Okay. And how does she treat her son?
She was on house arrest. She was on mm-hmm. house arrest, but she failed to show up for testing, alcohol testing, and drug testing.
Yeah, Cynthia, how does she treat her son? Is she abusive there? Is she put him in danger? I just want to understand the situation.
No, well, she's not abusive, but she is not attentive.
So neglectful. All
it's
right.
More like, yeah.
Okay, and so, look, I'm going to ask you to hang on over the break because we've got about 30 seconds till the music starts to play. But I want to ask you a couple other questions, and then I have some suggestions to give you. But this is a really painful situation when you're dealing with an adult child who has an alcohol problem. You know, that's one thing. But then whenever you've got a grandchild involved, and you're responsible for the care of that little one, then that thing makes things a little bit more complicated.
Well, and I think this points to a time where anger is righteous in this situation, because this is an unjust situation. How do you deal with that situation?
And how do you
That's what we're going to talk about.
Appropriately, proportionately, and productively whenever so much is at stake. So we're going to talk more about that. Cynthia, I'm going to ask you to hang on over the break. We'll continue talking with you on the other side here. Listeners, if you are struggling with anger or angry people in your life and you're looking for some guidance, give us a call. 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your calls after the break.
Brought to you by the nonprofit Seton Home Study.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Guarendi here. My wife and I have used Seton Home curriculum for our homeschooling. One of the great things about it, you learn about your faith, not just in religion, but history and English and science and reading. Their curriculum uses saints as role models. I don't think they've used me yet. Children are prepared to rationally explain and defend their faith. It permeates the instruction. You want to give your kids not only a top-notch education, but an understanding of their faith as it permeates the subjects that matter in their lives. I don't know if there's too much better than Seton homeschooling. We used it a lot. You are the best teacher for all of that. Let Seton get right beside you and give you the material you need. Go to setonhome.org. setonhome.org.
Bishop Robert Barron on the priesthood.
Vatican II teaches that every baptized person is a participant in the threefold office of Jesus, which is priest, prophet, and king. So as priest, Christ is a sanctifier. He effects a reconciliation between divinity and humanity, right, by his great sacrifice on the cross. Every baptized person does indeed participate in that, in the measure that we all have that calling to reconcile divinity and humanity, to bring God to people and people to God. That's true of every baptized person. Vatican II further specifies that the ordained priesthood is different, not only in degree, but in kind. And it has to do with the identification between the ordained priest, I think, and the Mass, and a unique relationship to the sacraments. Every baptized person has a task of reconciling divinity and humanity. The ordained priest does it in this sort of heightened sacramental and Eucharistic way.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck.
And I'm Lisa Popcheck.
And you're listening to the best of More to Life. Hi, this is Dr. Greg Popcheck. Ephesians 5:21 challenges husbands and wives to defer to one another out of reverence for Christ. In this scripture passage, St. Paul reminds us that while husbands and wives both have roles to play, Christ is the head of the house. You see, couples who recognize Christ as the head of their house are already cultivating mutual respect. Respect isn't just general politeness, it's much, much more. It's about making your default attitude toward your spouse one of fondness and admiration. Happy couples know that they each need to learn from the other's positive influence, call their spouse to holiness, and see the inevitable flaws in the other spouse's opportunities to grow in virtue. Cultivate fondness and admiration for your spouse instead of focusing on his or her flaws, and you will grow into a marriage that is truly exceptional. For more Catholic marriage guidance, visit moretoliferadio.com.
Joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popcheck.
I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck. And by the way, make sure to tune in later today when EWTN broadcasts the Mass of Installation for the Most Reverend Wilton Gregory as the 7th Archbishop of Washington. That's going to be simulcast on EWTN TV and EWTN Radio Classics. That's today at 1:30 p.m. Eastern. Check it out. We are talking with you today about anger on our show titled Boiling Mad. And before the break, we were talking with Cynthia in Omaha, Nebraska, listening on KPSS. Cynthia, are you still with us?
Yes, sir, I am.
All right, so let me just summarize this really quickly. You got a 27-year-old adult daughter. She moved back in with you. She's got a long history with an alcohol addiction. She was in jail for a DUI. She's got a 3-year-old son, and the son is living with you as well. And she tends to believe that she can, you know, maybe have just, quote-unquote, just one drink, but then, of course, then she goes off the rails with it. And you're just wondering, you know, what do you do about it all? Is that a fair summary?
Yeah.
Okay. So here's the thing.
There's one behavior that she got her dream. She actually got her dream job, and she loved it. Mm-hmm. And she was actually starting to surround herself with adults, more her age.
Okay.
However, she's reverting back to hanging around people 4 to 5 years younger than her. Mm-hmm. And what they do for past whatever is they drink.
Yeah.
And they smoke pot.
Right. So a big part of recovery, that's why a big part of recovery is always changing up your social group. And so, yeah. Now, let me just ask you about the 3-year-old here. Do you have custody? Is there any chance of you getting custody?
I do not have custody. I do have power of attorney, though, to take, you know, if she's not around.
Right. Well, that's something. But, yeah, no, the reason I ask that, though, is because normally when you're dealing with an adult child who has an alcohol or drug addiction, I would take a pretty hard line with that because, you know, they need it. You know, really, you can't just say, oh, you know, honey, would you like to get sober? Nobody will, right, who's dealing with an addiction problem. But when you have a child involved, that what is in the best interest of that child and keeping that child's life stable and safe is the most important thing. And if you come on too hard with the daughter, there's always a chance that she'll move out, take her kid with her, and then
she's driving, the child's
she's driving drunk with her kid in the car.
Or neglecting him, as you said, she even does in your home. And so, unfortunately, he becomes a point of power between the two of you, and we have to be very careful to protect him in the situation.
So I would like you, number one, to make sure that you're going to Al-Anon, which is a group for people who have a family member who is dealing with a drug or alcohol addiction. I think it's really important to be getting that appropriate support, starting to understand the difference between helping your daughter and what codependency looks like, really talking with people who are in your situation so that you can get the long-term help that you need for managing her. I think it's also going to be important, especially with a little one involved, for you to be getting some counseling support, to find a good local therapist that you can work with over the long haul to start to tease out what kind of limits you can appropriately set without alienating her so much that you put the 3-year-old at risk. I would also like you to talk with an attorney about what it would take to get custody of this 3-year-old. It's very difficult to get custody, even in a situation like this, but it's worth looking into, because if you can, then you have the ability to press your daughter in more effective ways, because you can do an effective intervention with her where you gather, for example, her employer, the people who love her, and sit her down and say, look, you know, this is what you're going to lose unless you get a handle on your addiction and you go for treatment. But the problem is you don't have enough leverage right now to make that happen without putting the 3-year-old at risk. So his needs have to come first. So that's why I'm suggesting that you focus on creating a support system for yourself so that long-term you can figure out what boundaries you can appropriately set and while still maintaining a safe and stable environment for this three-year-old to grow in, because he needs you in his life. He needs a stable grown-up, and your daughter isn't it. But getting that extra help will enable you over the long haul to find those opportunities the Holy Spirit gives you to set those boundaries with her without jeopardizing his health and well-being. So go in Al-Anon, getting some personal counseling for yourself. And you might say, well, why do I need that? It's my daughter's problem. Well, you're in that system, and it's affecting you, and you need to know how to support her and how not to support her and how to maintain your own sanity through this, because that three-year-old's needing the grown-up. So getting that good counseling support there will be terrifically important. And again, the legal support to find out what it would take for you to be able to ideally get custody so that you could then set some real boundaries with your daughter and hopefully encourage her sobriety and her willingness to accept treatment for her alcohol addiction. But that's your next step, Cynthia. I wish I had a better answer that could just kind of make this all go away for you, but you're definitely in this for the long haul. Getting these resources in place now, though, will set you up for dealing with this effectively in time. Thank you so much for the call. 877-573-7825. We're talking about anger today on the program. Do you struggle with your own anger, either because it causes you to shut down and withdraw, or because it causes you to lash out at the people around you and you're tired of whatever that reaction is? For that matter, are there angry people in your life that you are sick to death of having to manage? Well, we're here to help you with that too. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Joni, who's listening to EWTN Radio in San Antonio, Texas, on Guadalupe Radio.
Hi, Joni. Welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
I was just upset just the other day. I have the communion class at my church, and it takes a lot of time and effort. And my husband's not Catholic, so he doesn't really get it, and I told him the other day I was going to refresh a class I had taken for second level atrium, and he got really upset, and I told him that this is something I had to do, and the alternative is sitting on the sofa staring at the TV, and I wasn't going to do that. So in the past when he's gotten angry, I just was real quiet and took care of the kids. Our kids are grown, and for the first time, I was getting angry with him because he didn't understand what I was trying to tell him. Yeah. I need to do this. It gives me so much joy to be with the kids, and there's so much to do for First Communion. And we also involve the parents of the children, so there's a lot to do even every week until First Communion. We have a retreat which takes 3 days a week.
So, Joni, let me ask you a question about your husband here, just for a second. So, I get what you're saying about him getting angry with you when you go off to kind of do all this. Are you guys intentional about talking about getting time together? You said it would be either that or sitting in front of the TV. I mean, so is he objecting because he would like to actually do certain things with you? For example, one of the things we talk about is creating rituals, right, where you have regular time to work or play or talk or pray together as a couple to really make sure you're maintaining your relationship. And then you can kind of have those in place and then work around that to go and do the other things that are important to you. When you don't have that, it's sort of like all the time is up for grabs, right? So is it more of that kind of thing, or is it he's just hostile to the church and he's using this as an opportunity to beat you over the head with it?
Well, in the past, we don't have any kind of rituals. He just wants me to be there in the house to make the meals and do stuff, to clean it up, I guess.
All right. But, so here's what I want you to take a twofold approach to this. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to jump in, but I got what I need to give you what I can give you in the time we got. So number one, I think it's okay to go to him and say, look, I would love to get some time with you if we could be intentional about that time. You know, so let's sit down and think, like these four categories I gave you: work, play, talk, pray. Let's pick out some things to do underneath each of those things. And we'll see how sincere he is about wanting to spend time with you. If he wants that time, then he's going to say, all right, great, let's figure it out. I'd like to, you know, do this project with you, and we always have fun when we do this other thing, so let's get that on the schedule, and okay, let's make some time to talk over here. You know, you'll be intentional about making that time.
And then you can build it around the schedule you have between now and First Communion, and then build out from there after First Communion's over. That's going to be over shortly. This season is coming to an end.
Based on what you described, my suspicion is that that's not going to work. But you owe it to him in charity to at least try that, okay?
And do it with a real sense of charity. Come to him with ideas that you would have as well, of things that you would like to do that would make you feel closer to him and give you time to spend together. So something fun you could do together, a way that you could introduce prayer that would be comfortable for him and not intensely Catholic. The projects that you would do with that wouldn't be drudgery that you'd each go off and do alone, but something that would be fun to do together, to actually create something together. That kind of thing, so that it's inviting, and you're inviting him into a relationship with you in a real honest way.
My suspicion is, again, he's going to probably respond to that with, whatever, we can do that stuff, but I just really don't want you to go on that church thing, you know, okay? And if he does that, I need you to know that the problem isn't really church. Because 9 times out of 10, when religion becomes a wedge issue in a marriage, it's not really about religion at all. It's about respect. It's about being married to somebody who is unwilling to see the truth and the goodness and the beauty in anything you find true, good, and beautiful, especially religion, but really anything. And the only reason this becomes a conflict is because the religious person, you know, they might be willing to let go of hobbies or other interests or other topics of conversation that their spouse gets irritated about, but they're not willing to give up their faith, just like you, Joni. And so because that's the one thing you're going to plant your flag in, that's what's going to irritate him. And so that's not a matter of religion, that's a matter of respect, and he's just irritated at the fact that you dare to have your own ideas and your own identity and your own things that are important to you. So the reason I'm saying that is because I don't want you to feel guilty for setting that boundary. And if he continues to press this, I'd like you to say, look, I love you, and I want to work with you on this, but this is important to me, and I'm not going to give it up. So we clearly have some things to work out. Number one, we can pick some times, like we were just talking about, to be intentional about getting time together. And number two, I've made an appointment with a marriage counselor, and I would love for you to come with me. But I'm going with you or without you, because I love you too much to let you stay in this place of anger and hostility and resentment. And I've let you get away with this for too long, and I love you too much to allow it to continue. See, because, Joni, when you love somebody, you work for their good. And, you know, for you described a situation where all the years the kids were growing up, you just kind of hit out in your parenting, and you put up with him acting like that. You know, if loving somebody means working for their good, then at the very least it means not letting them act like a jerk.
And honestly, Joni, when you're saying he just wants me there to, like, cook and, I guess, clean up, and now that the kids are gone, what I'm hearing is that he has drifted into a pattern of behavior where I'm not sure he's seeing anything that's true, good, and beautiful in anything in his life. He may have worked himself into a right and proper depression where he, you know, just sits on the couch and stares at a screen. And he really does need you to wake up and stop displacing all of your needs, all of your relationship needs, first with your own children, now with the children in communion class and all the work you get to do there. And you're not addressing the fact that you have real relationship needs that are supposed to be met in the sacrament of your marriage, in the marriage itself. Even though he's not Catholic, it's still supposed to be something where you get your relationship needs met, and he's sitting there as though he was a cushion on the couch. And he needs you as his wife to come and open his eyes to everything that life and marriage can offer. But after years of raising children in this environment and not addressing it, you are probably going to need someone to help you, even if that means you go by yourself to one-person marriage therapy for a while to get the skills to begin to budge him off the couch and back into life and marriage.
The thing is, when you're looking for a good therapist, you want to find somebody, not just any therapist, you want to find somebody who's actually trained as a marriage and family therapist, who's had supervision in it, and who does one-person marital therapy, just in case your husband won't go with you. Because there's such a thing called systems theory. And in systems theory, what it does is it treats any individual as if they're part of a larger system, like your marriage, for example. And when it teaches the person how to make changes that affect the whole system around them. So you can't control what your husband does, but you can stack the deck in your favor, being able to both build rapport and set appropriate boundaries that make it harder for him to behave the way he does and have it make any sense, even to him. So working with a good systems therapist who can help you do that one-person marital therapy, even if he won't go with you, is going to be really critical to making this work. But the thing that you can't do is you can't give up your faith, and you can't not stand up to this behavior that he's demonstrating, because it's not loving to let it go. Because, again, to love somebody means to work for their good, and just tolerating his hostile, surly, nasty mood, especially whenever you're talking about faith, is just not okay. And you have to say, I love you too much to let this continue. That's why I've made this appointment. So I want to encourage you in your faith. I want to encourage you in continuing to do that, because God is giving you the grace to see what you're worth in his eyes, and that's going to give you the worth to stand up for the dignity of your marriage, the dignity of your husband, and your own dignity as well. So the grace is really important to hold on to there. But then getting the help that you need to cooperate with that grace is the next step. So make an appointment with a good marriage and family therapist in your area, or contact us through CatholicCounselors.com to learn about the telephone counseling practice that we have. But we can get you the rest of the way. We can do a lot, even if you're the only person working on the relationship, Joni. Thanks for having the courage to call in today. And this is, I think, the first day of the rest of your marriage. God bless you. 877-573-7825. We've got to take a break. But when we come back, we're continuing to talk with you about dealing with your own anger and the angry people in your life. Maybe your kids push your buttons and you lash out more than you wish you would. Look, it's happened to every parent, but we can get a handle on that stuff so you don't have to react that way. Maybe it's the other people in your life that are causing you to just feel like, I cannot take their anger anymore. Whether it's you or someone else, let's talk about dealing with anger gracefully at 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue right after the break.
Beth, why is our health insurance so expensive? Our premium and deductible are so high. Plus, I don't want my family to support a company that doesn't share our values.
Kim, there is another option. Check out CMF Curo. It's an affordable Catholic healthcare ministry where members share their medical costs in community, and it's pro-life. We joined last year and have saved thousands, all without compromising our values. Just go to MyCatholicHealthcare.com.
CMF Curo sounds exactly like what our family needs.
Yeah, that's MyCatholicHealthcare.com.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 10 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan cost goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
We know how much you love Ave Maria Radio, so please consider joining us in our Care to Share program. It's easy. We send you 10 business size cards that give you all the great ways that someone can listen to Ave Maria Radio, and you just give them away. Share them with those you love and those who would really benefit from our great programming. For more information, go to AveMariaRadio.net and click on the Community tab to find the Care to Share program link. That's AveMariaRadio.net, Community, and Care to Share.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
We're so glad to be with you today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I am Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and be sure to tune in later today on EWTN when we'll be broadcasting the massive installation of the Most Reverend Wilton Gregory as the 7th Archbishop of Washington. That's going to be simulcast on EWTN-TV and EWTN Radio Classics today at 1:30 p.m. Eastern. Be sure to tune into that historic event. And not just the history of the Archdiocese of Washington, but really the whole church in America. Check it out. With that, we're going back to the phones, talking today about anger and the angry people in your life. How do you manage that anger and those angry people gracefully? 877-573-7825.
We're talking now with Dara, who's listening to WTN Radio in Tennessee through Alexa.
Hey, Dara. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hi. I deal with an angry husband. We've been married for about 16 years, and he'll have these outbursts of anger. We will be having family game night, and he'll see, like, the kids have done a craft, and there's paint on the floor. He'll see it, and he'll flip, and we're all just kind of looking at each other like, what just happened? And it's like over and over and over and over, it starts to wear on someone. And we've been to counseling before. That never seems to work out, or we can't seem to find
what
someone
happened?
That we like.
Yeah, talk to me about that. What's been your experience there? When you say it doesn't work out or you can't find people you like, what do you mean?
Well, we just went through one with our church, and we just didn't seem to be getting anywhere. And then another one prior to that, my husband, I guess he ended up just going to her by himself because I just prefer to go to her by myself, which I didn't care for. But I guess she was helping him deal personally with his anger. But then I think he tried to turn it on me, like it was all that I was the problem.
Yeah, well, and people who are angry will do that because they genuinely believe, he's not lying, he genuinely believes that you're responsible for his anger. Because people who behave that way, they don't just feel powerless over situations, they feel powerless over their emotions. They tend to believe that the people around them hold the remote control to their feelings, and the reason that in his mind that he's angry is that you're pushing buttons. So that's what, it's not good for somebody in his position to be going to a therapist by themselves, because it just perpetuates the illusion that everybody else is responsible for their feelings. At least, a good therapist will challenge the person on that, but it's still harder to get there than it is working together. So, all right, so suggest some suggestions for you. What I would like you to get back into some good marriage counseling, but before I get to that, here's what you need to do in the short term, okay? And it's not going to be easy for you, so that's what we're going to move into the second part of this. But the first piece is, in a healthy household, when somebody loses it, we all lose it from time to time, everybody else kind of stops and says, whoa, I get that you're upset, but this isn't okay, and I need you to apologize for that, and then we can get back on track. And the other person goes, oh gosh, I'm really sorry, yeah, I kind of lost it there, fine, I'm sorry, and then you get back on the road, right? Well, that doesn't happen here with somebody like this, because he doesn't believe that he's got anything to apologize for. It's the kid's fault that he got angry because there's paint on the floor. It's your fault because you said this thing. It's always somebody else's fault. So in a situation like that, you have to create that gap, that space that naturally occurs in a healthy household, where you say to him, look, I love you, but you're not a safe person to be around, and I need you to come back and apologize to everybody before I can talk to you about anything else. Now, I don't mean you freeze him out. I mean that you hold him accountable for that behavior. So, for example, you say that to him, and he'll lose it. He'll be upset. Now, it says on the board here that he's not physically abusive, so that's why I'm suggesting this. You're not in any physical danger. So as scary as his anger is, you can do this. So, you say to him, look, I love you, but you need to apologize to everybody here. You owe me, you owe the children an apology for your behavior. And he'll flip out. Then he goes away. An hour later, he comes back. He wants everything to just disappear and pretend that everything's fine. At which point you say, I'm glad you're back. You seem like you're in a better place. Are you ready to apologize for your behavior and talk about how you're going to handle it differently, a situation like that differently next time? Both of those things have to happen. You can't just get a sorry. You have to actually get a look, the next time I get irritated with a kid, this is what I'm going to do. Or, you know what, I am going to call my therapist and work on this. Or you need a plan from him. He needs to take responsibility for getting new skills.
Every time. Yeah. Every time he loses it.
So, that's what you need to hold his feet to the fire. And if chances are, when he does that, or when you do that, rather, he's going to get mad again and then walk away again. And then he's going to come back the next morning or 2 hours later or whatever, and he's going to say, what's for dinner? And you say, gosh, honey, I wish I could talk to you about that, but until you can apologize to me for the way you treated me and the kids, I can't answer your question because you're not a safe person to be around. And then he's going to get upset again, and he's going to walk away again. And then my point is, you're going to have to keep saying that every time he comes back until you get something from him. In the meantime, you've made an appointment with a good marriage-friendly therapist, either in your area or you've contacted us for the Pastoral Solutions Institute and hooked up with one of our telecounselors, and you are inviting him to come to counseling with you, or you're going to work individually on this, because, again, we do that systems therapy that enables you to make changes in your marriage even if you're the only one working on it. And we're going to help you both set effective boundaries with this behavior, you know, without completely alienating him, right, because that's important. If he decides to join you, we'll help him learn how to take more responsibility for his reactions as well. But that's where it all comes down to. Now, in our book, How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love, we have a chapter on self-regulation that might be good if you can get him to read it, because he sounds like he's willing to take at least some responsibility if he's going to therapy. I'd encourage you to read the chapter on self-regulation together, because it talks about how he can begin to get better control over those reactions and how not to misattribute what those reactions are a response to. So that's How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love, which you can pick up at the website. But the key is you holding him absolutely accountable for this behavior and not letting him off the hook until he can give you the appropriate apology and plan for handling those situations better the next time. If you'd like to learn more about the resources I recommended here, you can go over to CatholicCounselors.com, check out How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love, and learn more about the Pastoral Solutions Institute's telephone counseling practice. God bless, folks. Have a great day.
You've been listening to More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popcheck. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.